July 1st. Well, I was going to say, for many of us, July 1st is a holiday. Technically, it is. I guess it is. It's Canada Day.
It is Canada Day.
150th anniversary.
We get a stat on the Monday.
You're right. But it's also signing season. That's when free agency starts and the courting period underway. Always a pleasure to talk to our next guest. Our final visit of the 16-17 hockey season with Mr. Rob Volman from HockeyAbstract.com and, of course, the author of StatShot. However, it seems to me that on the radar is the release of this year's Hockey Abstract sometime in August. Does that sound right?
Yep. Hockey Abstract 2017 is going to be available on August 1st.
Okay.
It will only be available through my website, HockeyAbstract.com, and Amazon.com. We will not be in the bookstores. This is self-published. And as a special bonus, a few weeks after that, for my Francophone friends, there will be for the first time, a French language version of Hockey Abstract 2017. That'll be out by the end of August.
Oh, well, okay. So that is very curious to me. Who does that? Are you bilingual? Did you just take everything and rewrite it, or how did that process work?
Yes, I am bilingual, and some of the other names, like Tom Awad, is actually a Francophone. But we do have some translators doing the work for us. I'm not well-versed in covering hockey. There's a lot of technical terms.
Sure.
So I'm getting some help to do the translation, and that's why it's going to be later in August as opposed to August 1st. But we're very excited to finally make this work available to our Francophone friends.
What are you expecting? Is that going to be, I think that's going to be huge, quite honestly, for that market.
You never know what to expect when you're, plowing new ground. And a lot of the things that we've done, whether it's this radio show, when you first had me on as a regular guest 3 years ago, we didn't know how the fans would respond, how it would build. The first analytics conference, which you yourself attended,
yeah.
You didn't know.
No.
We didn't know then that it would grow into something big. And even the English version of Hockey Abstract, we didn't know that it would lead to bigger and greater things. So who knows? I mean, this could be a one and done, no interest, or it could actually grow into a regular feature and more books and more interest. There's just no telling what it can lead to.
Well, that's cool. And we will have you on in August to promote the launch of the new Hockey Abstract. You can bet on that. Let's move on to more pressing matters, I would suggest, because free agency is just a couple of days away. On your NHL.com article this week, your all undervalued UFA all-star team. Give me the explanation. Give me the description, and then let's go through it.
Well, one of my favorite applications of hockey analytics is finding undervalued players, is finding the overlooked. I mean, I love using it to challenge conventional wisdom, but to be honest, the conventional wisdom is actually usually right. It's only like the odd time that it's wrong, or that I have a new perspective. That's why I love using it to find undervalued players. Everyone's looking at Joe Thornton and Kevin Shattenkirk and all the big names. I built an all undervalued UFA team for NHL.com, which has one player per position that I think is going to get signed to a real bargain. And sometimes it's those players that have the greater overall impact for the team than the big, huge free agent signings.
Rob Volman from HockeyAbstract.com is our guest, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. So in terms of the definition you've given it, give me a couple of names. Who are we talking about on this? Because I think one of your names got signed today.
Yeah, Chris Versteeg was one of my wingers. So, I don't know, replace him with, Scott Hartnell or something, because I think he's, after being bought out, I think he could get signed real cheap. I found some great stats on Hartnell. But in the article itself, a good example of what I'm getting at is Pierre-Alexandre Parenteau, P.A. Parenteau. He's really good in the shootout. You know, he's got one of the highest shootout percentages, and that can add an extra point, a couple points per season. He also has really good shot-based metrics. I get into that. So Parenteau, who you can probably sign pretty close to that million-dollar mark, is the sort of value, undervalued UFA that some team is going to sign at a bargain.
And the other forward you mentioned there, Rob, Dominic Moore, right?
Yeah, he's a perfect example because, every team, yeah, sure, you need the top six scorers and need the big puck-moving defenseman, you need the big goalie, but every team also needs that fourth-line checking line center who wins faceoffs, kill penalties, plays in the defensive zone, does all that dirty work. You need that player too. And Dominic Moore, according to the numbers, checks all those boxes, whether it's his face-off winning percentage over his career, whether it's his zone start percentage, which is one of the lowest among active forwards, or whether it's his penalty killing minutes. I mean, there's very few forwards in the NHL who have spent more time killing penalties over the last few seasons than Dominic Moore. And what do you think? Do you think you can get him for $1 million? Probably less.
Yeah, probably right around there, if not less. He was in Boston last year with the Bruins. What about the back end? Who pops out for you on D?
Ron Hainsey. I mean, you watched the Stanley Cup final. Ron Hainsey was the defenseman that Mike Sullivan sent out there against Alex Ovechkin, against Philip Forsberg, against Orwin Eric Karlsson's on the ice. Ron Hainsey and his partner Brian Dumoulin in Pittsburgh. And Hainsey's available right now. I think he could go for under $3 million. It's possible. He did last time. And yet he can play sneaky good minutes. I mean, he can go out there, play the top, you know, opponents, and then the rest of your blue line really benefits from that. So definitely, I pulled out the numbers there to prove that Hainsey can do just that.
Well, and I know that you've also highlighted Brian Campbell as well. I mean, both guys are veteran defensemen. Both guys are a little bit older. Is that a worry at all?
Well, yes, it's always a worry. That's also the worry with Scott Hartnell as well. I mean, once you reach the age 34, 35, 36, that's the point that we've observed where performance can drop off very dramatically, very suddenly. And for that matter, that's the concern with Joe Thornton or Jaromir Jagr. You never know when their performance is just going to go from a good NHL player to someone that just can't keep up in the NHL anymore. But in the meantime, Brian Campbell, I mean, the last few years, he's extended his career by learning how to develop young players. He's the one that guided Aaron Ekblad to the Calder Trophy 3 years ago. He's the one that helped Trevor Van Riemsdyk go from a depth defenseman to a top four option last year. And I think any team that's got a young defenseman that they're trying to bring up to the next level, that's exactly where Brian Campbell should go.
And what about in net? Who do you identify as a really good value signing between the pipes?
Well, you're not going to be crazy about this yourself, but I did go with Brian Elliott. I'll say the same things I said last year. He's led the NHL in save percentage twice in his career, which is amazing. If you look at his numbers, whether it's save percentage or whether you adjust his save percentage in a bunch of fancy ways like home plate save percentage or even strength save percentage, it's still a top 20 metric. If you go back and look at a three-year window, it's top 20. And yet, he's not going to get top $20. The 20th highest paid goalie right now, that's Devan Dubnyk. He gets, I think, $4.3 million. You know Elliott's going to sign for $3 million or less in all likelihood. So you know there's going to be a discount there. And the fun stat I pulled up for Elliott is I counted the number of game stars that he's received over the last 3 years, first, second, and third game stars, divided that by the number of starts, and it's the ninth highest percentage in the league. So he's a very valuable player, and I know he struggled on and off with the Flames last year, but if you look at a larger time span, I mean, he's the type of goalie that I think can be a sneaky good value signing for a team that needs a backup or even a sort of a 1A, 1B platoon goalie.
Rob Volman from HockeyAbstract.com, our guest down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Rob, let's move to some of the transactions that we have seen in the last week or so around the league, and primarily ones that focus on the Calgary Flames. Travis Hamonic, quite a price that was paid by the Flames to get Hamonic. How do you see him? What do the numbers tell you about Travis Hamonic?
He can do the job. That's what the numbers say. You know, it's funny, when Mike Smith was acquired, everyone was telling me to really, really focus on 2016-17 and sort of ignore the previous seasons. With Hamonic, people are telling me to do the opposite, you know, ignore 2016-17, because he really had an awful season. He really was probably one of the worst top four defensemen in the NHL last year. But if you were to set that aside, he's clearly established himself as someone who can play the top 4 minutes with the Islanders. Clearly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he can take on top opponents in both zones. He can work all manpower situations. The numbers back that up. He had a bad year with injuries and other issues, but in my mind, there's no question he's established he can play top 4 minutes, and that is without question the number one need I think the Flames had, even more important than a goalie.
Now, I hope I'm not blindsiding you a little bit, but you've talked before about, you know, taking players from different leagues and kind of projecting where they're going to be. What about a guy like Spencer Fu, who the Flames, you know, signed out of college? Have you been able to run a projection or see what he might do at the next level?
Not specifically on him, but some of the guidelines I can certainly pass on. I mean, whenever you're doing those projections, you got to look very carefully at the age of the player. And Johnny Gaudreau is a good example because, you know, he was dominating college hockey as a teenager Whereas someone like Jimmy Vesey, for instance, of the New York Rangers, he didn't dominate U.S. college hockey until he was already in his 20s. And furthermore, Johnny Gaudreau came from one of the toughest U.S. college divisions. That's Hockey East he came from, right? Whereas Jimmy Vesey came from ECAC, ECAC, which is one of the lower quality Division I U.S. college divisions. So whenever you're truly doing that transition, whether it's Spencer Fu or any other player, the two key elements to look at, number one, his age. At what age did he break out and dominate his opponents in college? And number two, which division did he play in, one of the stronger ones or one of the weaker ones?
Rob, not a trade or anything other than the re-signing of a player, and it's kind of been forgotten a little bit, but how did you view Washington bringing back TJ Oshie for 8 years?
Well, obviously, it's always tough to bring back a player who's already 30 for 8 years. I mean, that's a tough contract to put in front of a player because so much can happen in those 8 years, whether it's injuries, whether it's a decline in performance, whether there's chemistry issues, off-ice issues. I mean, there's a long, long list of risks the Capitals are taking when signing a player to an 8-year contract. However, on the plus side, I think they got the cap hit right. I think they got the cap hit right, so I think TJ Oshie's decline is going to be at roughly the same rate as the cap expands, which is around 4.7% historically. So I think they got the cap hit largely right. And number two, TJ Oshie is a do-it-all player. I invented the do-it-all index a few years ago in Hockey Abstract 2014. It's 10 categories, and a player gets a score out of 10 for being above average in, you know, power play, penalty kill, shot rate metrics, scoring, shootout, 10 categories, hitting, everything. And TJ Oshie is consistently sort of an 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. Now, what that means, even as he ages, because he's such a versatile player, there's going to be other aspects of his game that continue. So he's going to be, you know, useful, I think, a lot longer than a more one-dimensional player would be.
Last one for you, and it has to do with a handful of players that were bought out and not qualified, but your thoughts on the value of, you mentioned Scott Hartnell before, Antti Niemi no longer in Dallas, Benoit Pouliot bought out by the Oilers. I even think of a guy, you and I think we had we were in the car last year talking about players, and you brought up Brandon Peary, and he's not getting qualified this year. There's some interesting guys that are now becoming free agents.
Yeah, and I think that's where Hockey Analytics has a lot of value, because these secondary players, it's hard to really separate them, and it's hard to really pick one from the other. Everyone knows what Joe Thornton can do. You don't need a copy of Hockey Abstract to figure out what Shattenkirk can do. But these secondary players, that's where sort of digging into the numbers can help. And just to take one example out of your list, Benoit Pouliot, like Travis Hamonic, had a very bad season in Edmonton last year. But he spent the 7 seasons prior to that as a really solid middle line left winger in terms of both scoring and in terms of the shot-based metrics we've talked about on this show. Now, he's not out there to play defense. He's not out there to throw hits. He's not there to do everything. But if you're looking for that secondary source of scoring, if you're looking for that, you know, bump in your shot-based metrics in the middle part of your lineup, then he reminds me a lot of Mathieu Perreault of the Winnipeg Jets. I think he's sort of that type of good middle contributor. And because he was bought out, there's a good likelihood you're going to get him for half what he cost last year.
Yeah. Hey, listen, pal, thank you. It was fun. I mean, I continue to learn and I'm continuing to enjoy our visits. And, you know, I'm very pleased and very somewhat humbly proud a little bit of your success. You've really, you know, come in. It's been interesting, the journey that we've shared in terms of analytics and how, you know, it's really become mainstream. And you got a large role to play in that. So I really do appreciate your contributions to the program, Rob. We're going to have you on in August to talk about the new book, and we'll have you on again in the fall. But thank you, sir. It's been fun.
Well, thanks, Rob. You're bringing a tear to my eye. I had another fun season, and I look forward to coming back for another season with you next year. And, of course, I'd like to thank not just you and Pat Steinberg and Will and everybody, but I'd also like to thank everyone that's tuned in and really encouraged me this season and throughout my entire time with you. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Good stuff. Thanks, Rob.
Bye, Rob.
Bye.
Rob Volman from HockeyAbstract.com, kind enough to join us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Check out the